नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कये बलिष्ठस्य महाविभूते सहार्थविगचार्य सदास्य एतत् ददर्श विश्वं त्रिगुणं गुणात्मके भूतेन्द्रियार्थाशय जीवयुक्तम् कये बलिष्ठस्य महाविभूते सहार्थविगचार्य सदास्य एतत् ददर्श विश्वं त्रिगुणं गुणात्मके भूतेन्द्रियार्थाशय जीवयुक्तम् कये बलिष्ठस्य महाविभूते सहार्थविगचार्य सदास्य एतत् ददर्श विश्वं त्रिगुणं गुणात्मके भूतेन्द्रियार्थाशय जीवयुक्तम् ददर्श विश्वं त्रिगुणं गुणात्मके भूतेन्द्रियार्थाशय जीवयुक्तम् वैष्णवीज कये बलिष्ठस्य महाविभूतये सहार्थविगचार्य सदास्य एतत् ददर्श विश्वं त्रिगुणात्मके कये बलिष्ठस्य महाविभूते सहार्थविगचार्य सदास्य एतत् ये बलिष्ठस्य महाविभूते सहार्थविगचार्य सदास्य एतत् ददर्श विश्वं त्रिगुणं गुणात्मके काये इन द बॉडी बालहि Maharaj Bali, Tasya, of the personality of Godhead, Mahavibhutahe, of that person who is equipped with all wonderful opulences, Saha Ritvik Acharya Sandasyaha, with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the Holy Assembly, Etat, this, Didarsha, Sa, Vishvam, the whole universe, Trigunam, made of three modes of material nature, Guna Atmake, in that which is the source of all such qualities, Bhuta, with all the gross material elements, Indriya, with the senses, Artha, with the sense objects, Ashaya, with mind, intelligence, and false ego, Jiva Yuktam, with all the living entities. Translation: Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observe the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the origin of everything. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Krishna is everything. Matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshvavastitaha. Everything rests in the body of the Lord, yet the Lord is not everywhere. Mayavadi philosophers think that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, has become everything, He has no separate existence. Their philosophy is called Advaitavad. Actually, however, their philosophy is not correct. Here, Bali Maharaj was the seer of the Personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body was that which was seen. Thus, there is Dvaitavad. There are always two entities, the seer and the seen. The seer is a part of the whole, but he is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole. But since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This achintya bedha bedha, simultaneous oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. thank you for all of you allowing me to serve you this morning. I sincerely pray for the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, that I can speak appropriately on the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta, which has been handed down to us by our founder Acharya, Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So we are continuing with Bali Maharaj surrendering. He's surrendering the universe to Lord Vamanadev. In the previous text, Bali Maharaj, he was cursed by his guru to lose all opulence. And so even going through all of that, he still surrendered to Vamanadev, took his lotus feet and washed them with his wife. And so they saw how Vamanadev, who is a dwarf Brahmin, began growing in size. He started becoming huge, so much so that the whole universe was in his body. That body contained everything within the universe. And so in today's verse, Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, they observed the Vishvarup, the universal form of the Lord, Didarsha Vishvam. They saw the universal form. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is making a point that Krishna is everything. Krishna is the origin of everything. Vasudevam Sarvam Iti. Krishna is everything, but he is not everywhere. And so Srila Prabhupada is preaching against the Mayavad conclusion, the Mayavad philosophy, which is called Advaitavad. And he propounds the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has propounded, the perfect philosophy that Lord Chaitanya propounded. And so we see that this Advaitavad is an attack against bhakti. Because in Advaitavad, they get rid of the seer and the seen. Everything becomes one. But Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that how can this be so? If Vamanadev, he has his particular universal form, his body, and that is being seen by Bali Maharaj, there must be two separate identities, two separate entities. And so we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically wanted to stamp out this Mayavad philosophy. And also our Srila Prabhupada in his pranam mantra, Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. He wants to get rid of this Nirvishesh and Shunyavad. Srila Prabhupada was actually coming with a machete, cutting through all the Mayavad and Nirvishesh, the Shunyavad. He was cutting through all of it so that bhakti could sprout up, so that bhakti can have a place in this world. Because when there's Mayavad, there cannot be bhakti. And so we learn in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila, chapter 7, how the Panchatattva, they came to break open the storehouse of love of God. The storehouse of love of God is characteristics of Krishna. And even though it came at the time of Krishna, it was there at the time of Krishna, it was sealed. And Panchatattva came to break open that seal of love of God and spread it everywhere. And so they actually inundated the whole universe. They would taste from the storehouse of love of God. They would taste the characteristics of Krishna. And they would become jubilant. They would become in ecstasy, bhavuka. They would become like madmen, and they would dance, and they would chant, and they would taste it more, and they would spread it more and more. Even Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that the whole world will become inundated, flooded over with love of God. And they became happy because of the sinful reactions, the seeds of sinful reactions, and the seeds of sense enjoyment within the living entity's hearts, it was all flooded. During a flood, all the seeds, they can't come up. They just become destroyed. So Panchatattva, in inundating the whole world, they destroyed all the seeds of sense gratification and seeds of sinful reactions. But there were certain people who were trying to avoid this flood. They were trying to avoid tasting Krishna consciousness. And these were known as the impersonalists, the fruit of workers, the false logicians, the blasphemers, and the low-class students. And Srila Prabhupada says that they're very expert at avoiding the Krishna consciousness movement. And so Lord Chaitanya wanted to bring everybody to the lotus feet of Krishna, and so he devised a plan to even get them to be inundated with this love of God. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas. He spent 24 years as a grihastha, and in the 25th year, he accepted sannyas, the renounced order of life, specifically so that he can bring these people to Krishna consciousness. And so when he took sannyas, he started preaching, and the fruit of workers, the false logicians, the blasphemers, they all came to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The only ones who still remained away from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was those who were following Shankaracharya, the Mayavadi sannyasis. And so, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was traveling to Vrindavan, he was traveling to Mathura, and before he went to Mathura, he stopped at Varanasi, at the house of Chandrasekharacharya. And there, the Shankaracharya Mayavadi sannyasis, they started blaspheming, criticizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that, look at this sannyasi, he doesn't associate with us, he doesn't study Vedanta Sutra, he doesn't meditate, instead he spends all of his time with these fanatics chanting Hare Krishna. All he does is he chants and dance. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just rejected their criticism and paid no attention, and he went to Vrindavan. But on the way back, he again stopped in Varanasi, Benares, and he stayed at the home of Chandrasekharacharya for 2 months to teach Srila Sanatana Goswami about bhakti, about devotional service. And so staying there, Chandrasekharacharya and Tapan Mishra, two great Vaishnavas, eternal associates of the Lord, they became very hurt because the Mayavadi sannyasis, they were criticizing the Lord over and over again. Why doesn't he take to studying the Vedanta Sutra? Why isn't he meditating? And so they themselves, they could not preach the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Srila Prabhupada's purports, Srila Prabhupada actually mentions that because they were not able to defeat the Mayavadi sannyasis, they were Kanishta Adhikaris. They were neophyte devotees because they couldn't preach themselves. Even though we should understand that they are the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so at this time, when they came forth to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were saying, you have to do something. You have to stop them from criticizing you. So right at this time, a Brahmin came to invite Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to his home. And he said that, I know that you never mix with these Mayavadi sannyasis, but still, I would like you to come to my home, and I would like to feed you lunch to all of the sannyasis in Varanasi. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed, even though before this, he never mixed with the Mayavadi sannyasis, those who follow Shankaracharya. He never mixed with them at all. And so the next day, he went to the home of this Brahmin, and we see in this painting here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came into the assembly of the sannyasis, he washed his feet, and then he sat in that place where he was washing his feet, where he had washed his feet, showing Trinadapi Sunichena Tororiva Sihishnana. He was showing his humility, showing his tolerance. And he started emanating a brilliant effulgence. It was more effulgent than millions of suns. Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes the saintly persons, they have to perform some types of mystic tricks to get the foolish people to listen to them or to associate with them. And so the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis, Prakashananda Saraswati, he came over and he grabbed the lotus hand of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, please come and sit with us. Why are you sitting where we wash our feet? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that, a lower order of sannyas than you. So I have to sit lower than you. But Prakashananda Sarasvati, he took him by his hand and he sat him on the same platform as the rest of them, brought them into his assembly. And they began to inquire from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that why is it you never associate with us? Why do you always associate with these bhavukas, these madmen that are in ecstasy? You're chanting, you're dancing, you're never studying this Vedanta Sutra. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that my spiritual master said that I'm a great fool, a murk. And because of me being a great fool, he said that I cannot understand Vedanta Sutra. And he told me that I should just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that when he started chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he started exhibiting different signs of ecstasy. He thought he was pagal. He thought he was going mad. Tears were flowing from his eyes. He was trembling. Sometimes he was fainting. And he said to the sannyasis that, at this point, I thought, maybe this chanting is covering over my spiritual knowledge. And so he went again to his spiritual master and he told him what he was exhibiting when chanting the holy names. And his spiritual master said that, actually, what you have attained is love of God. When you obtain bhav, this ecstasy, this is the ultimate goal of life, to obtain this type of ecstatic love of God. This is actually the fruit of chanting this holy name. And he even said that when one obtains this ecstatic devotional service, then dharma, artha, kama, moksha, it's very insignificant. The pleasure that you get from them becomes very insignificant. And you just want to struggle and struggle to get more closer to the lotus feet of Krishna. And so at this point, the sannyasis, they said, it's okay, we understand that you're a devotee of Krishna, but still, why don't you speak about Vedanta Sutra? Why don't you, you know, tell us about Vedanta Sutra? And so at this point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started speaking to them about how the words of Vyasadeva are Vedanta philosophy. Vedanta philosophy are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Vyasadeva. And they have to be understood in their direct meanings. Mukhya vrittye. When you understand them very directly, then it's understood that Krishna is Bhagavan. He's full in six opulences. But what Shankaracharya and the Mayavadi sannyasis do is they start giving a gona vrittye. They start covering over with indirect meanings. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he talks about how the same has been done with the Bhagavad Gita. Certain personalities have written commentaries on Bhagavad Gita that talk about how Kurukshetra means the body, the Pandavas mean the five senses. And so they start giving an indirect meaning. And so Srila Prabhupada has blessed us with Bhagavad Gita as it is. There's no indirect meaning. It's just direct understanding of Krishna consciousness. But Shankaracharya, he specifically came on the order of Krishna. In Padma Purana, it's stated that Shankaracharya, he's actually Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was sent by Krishna to propound this Mayavad philosophy, which is actually covered Buddhism. And so they give a indirect meaning, this gona vrittya. But the body, name, fame, and entourage of the Lord are all spiritual. It's all spiritual, as we are reading today. Krishna is full of six opulences, and his body is spiritual. But what they say is that prakrita sattvera vikar, transformation of the modes of goodness. They say that the form of the Lord is just a transformation of the mode of material goodness. And this is what the Shankaracharya Mayavadis do. They say that how can the Lord expand himself in these different energies? He will lose himself. So they say that the jiva and all the energies, it's all illusion. There's only one Brahman. And all these manifestations of the Lord. It's just prakritya, satvira, vikara. It's transformation of the modes of material goodness. But one who considers the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu to be made of material nature is the greatest offender. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Shankaracharya is not to be at fault since he was ordered by Krishna to preach this way, but anybody who follows the Shankaracharya system is doomed, completely doomed. This is how Mayavad philosophy, it's such an attack against bhakti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that they're the greatest offenders who consider this Mayavad philosophy. And we understand that the jiva is like a spark of the great fire of Krishna. And Krishna has three different energies. And so in the Vedanta Sutra, what Vyasadeva has said is that it's parinam vad. There's a transformation of energies. But Shankaracharya has said that Vyasadeva bhranta. Vyasadeva has made a mistake. And he says that actually, this parinam vad, it's vivarta vad. It's the path of illusion. Anybody who considers that there's a transformation of energies, this is vivartavad or illusory. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada in these sections give very, very elaborate commentary, quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and especially Srila Jiva Goswami from the Sindarbhas. But Shankaracharya, he uses word jugglery to demonstrate how this vivartavad, actually, he takes it in a very misconstrued way. This vivartavad, and what they say is a rope becomes a snake, this vivartavad, this illusion, is actually us considering the body to be the self. But Shankaracharya, he takes, this vivartavad is actually those who take parinamvad, or the transformation of the Lord's energies, it becomes illusory. Actually, there's only one Brahman. There's no energies. There's no living entities. So this is Shankaracharya's philosophy. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that just as we take a touchstone, you can take a touchstone and you touch it to any metal and it becomes gold. The touchstone doesn't lose its value. It doesn't become different. It doesn't lose anything. Yet, it transforms something else. So this is achintya shakti. Just the touchstone is inconceivable. What to speak of the Lord, who is also inconceivable. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely defeats this Mayavad philosophy, this Advaitavad, by telling them that Shankaracharya has completely used word jugglery, this gonavritya, instead of giving the direct meanings. And so he starts preaching to them how in Vedanta philosophy, the essence of it is sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Understanding who we are and who Krishna is, how to engage in devotional service, and how to obtain love of God. This is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. And we can see that even in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, he rejected so much this Shankaracharya Mayavad philosophy. And so he specifically came to save these Mayavadi philosophies by taking sannyas and preaching to them. And so after this, they all started chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we see in another pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Mukunda, who is an eternal associate of the Lord, he was a childhood friend of the Lord, and he would always sing for the Lord, and the Lord would dance in his association. And so actually at one point during the Mahaprakash Leela, where the Lord became very ecstatic for 21 hours, Mukunda was rejected by the Lord. The Lord said that I won't even see the face of Mukunda. Don't bring him here. And it was because Mukunda, in the association of those who were talking about this Mayavad philosophy, he would agree with them. So in the association of devotees, he would act like a devotee. And in the association of Mayavadis, he would act like a Mayavadi. And so the Lord completely rejected him. because of this. Of course, we understand that he rectified himself, and this was a pastime for us to learn that how much we should be against this Mayavad philosophy and how it destroys bhakti. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmad yanavatam anukulyena krishna anu shilanam bhakti uttama. We have to understand what is pleasing to Krishna, krishna anu shilanam. And we have to be aware of karma, Mishra Bhakti, and Jnana Mishra Bhakti. We have to completely get rid of this karma and Jnana so that we can really take shelter of Shuddha Bhakti. And so this is the advantage that Srila Prabhupada has given us in his books, in his transcendental literature, which he's taken so much time to translate and to publish. We can dive very deeply into this philosophy. And even the Sahajiyas, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was talking to the Mayavadi sannyasis about how his spiritual master said, oh, you're a fool, you should just chant the holy name. The Sahajiyas, they take this indirectly to say that, oh, see, we don't need to study Vedanta philosophy. We don't need to dive deeply into the philosophy. All we have to do is chant. But Srila Prabhupada says that one should be very learned in this Vedanta philosophy. And through Srila Prabhupada's purports, we have all the necessary, you could say, artillery to defeat these other unbona fide philosophies that are out there so that we can spread Krishna consciousness. This is what our founder Acharya wanted us to do, and the previous Acharyas, they've taken so much time to give us these transcendental literatures to really fix us up in the philosophy of devotional service and Krishna consciousness. And then, by their mercy, we can try and help others also get out of this Mayavad and Shunyavad philosophy. So I'll stop there if there's any questions or comments. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Poon. Nice class, as usual. My question is this, that if I'm understanding correctly, Mayavadi philosophy is that individuality is essentially illusory, and at the time of liberation, the soul just merges and becomes part of the oneness, right? The one.
Yeah, there's only one.
There's only one. That's one great spiritual energy, and liberation means you become free from that illusion and you just merge with the one soul, okay? And we think of that as illusion, right? Okay. So, but yet, in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 20, Krishna says, that knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. And the last sentence of the purport, Prabhupada says, such impersonal knowledge is an aspect of self-realization. So it sounds like on the one hand, you know, referring, it's illusion. It's Mayavadi philosophy, it's illusion. But here it sounds like it's being referred to as knowledge. It sounds like the same thing to me. So, and here it's being referred to as knowledge. So what am I not getting here?
You understand all of this very completely, even though you're asking on the behalf of others. Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, that's why simultaneous oneness and difference is the perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is oneness, but there's also difference. So there is, Brahman is truth. There is oneness with Brahman, that is a truth, but that's not the full truth. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So one can say that if they're far away and they see a mountain, they just kind of see the shape of it, they think, oh, there's the mountain. But as you get closer, you start seeing the trees, you start seeing the form of the mountain more clearly, and that's kind of like Paramatma. And then you get onto the mountain, you see that there's so many different activities, Bhagavan realization. So just to consider that the living entities are non-different than Krishna, but yet they're different. And this is all achintya. This is inconceivable, because just like the drop of the ocean, it's the ocean, but it's not quantitatively. It's qualitatively with one with the ocean, but it's different in quantity.
So the illusion would be not to think that the living entities are one with Brahman. That's an illusion, not because it's not reality. There's a sense in which it is reality, but it's just the illusion is to think that that's the highest understanding.
Yes. Because apareyam etastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam dharyate jagat. The living entity is an energy of the Lord, just like there's the sun and then there's the heat of the sun. So you can't have the heat without the sun, and you can't have the sun without heat. So the living entities and the Lord are one, yet they're different. So achintya beta beta tattva. This is inconceivable oneness and difference. But the true nature of the living entity is to serve Krishna, this jivara sarupoi Krishna nityadas. But when you have this Shankara philosophy, and when you go through the seventh chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Vivartavad that Shankaracharya expounds, there the energy, the world, everything besides Brahman is illusion. So there's only one. But obviously, this is an indirect statement that Shankaracharya is making. He's using word jugglery to propound this philosophy. Archita Prabhu wants to say something also.
Well, Gopal Prabhu, thank you very much for a very clear presentation. I think if you would explain, you mentioned in your talk that Shankaracharya was actually ordered by the Lord to propound this. So I think if you would explain why, that would clear up this also to Bhrigupati's apparent confusion.
We want to
in other
hear
words,
from
why
you.
Would the Lord tell someone to propound this Nirvasheshvad? Why?
Well, we know that at the time of Lord Buddha, who is an incarnation of the Lord, the people were engaging in sacrifices that were killing large amounts of animals, and they were losing sight of the real purpose of sacrifice. And so Lord Buddha came and he got rid of this so-called sacrifices and Vedic philosophy, and he ultimately just said, Shunyavad, everything is nothing. Or at the same time, everything is one. And so Lord Shiva, in Padma Purana, he actually talks to Mother Parvati about how he was sent as Shankaracharya in the age of Kali to bring back the Vedic philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Acharya say that Shankaracharya is not at fault, but yet still he's made it very hard for living entities to approach bhakti. So he reestablished the Vedic philosophy in studying Vedanta Sutra, but through word jugglery, he propounded his own philosophy.
Thank you. And that's why you have to hear from the Vaishnava Acharyas. Then everything becomes clear. Because it's a conundrum that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, but then he propounds a philosophy as Shankaracharya that is against Vaishnavism, that's against bhakti. So when we hear from the Vaishnava Acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, then the whole picture becomes clear. That he was sent on a mission to drive out the Shunyavadis, and it happened. Buddhism was pushed out of India and went all the way, as you know, across Asia, became popular, Japan, places like that. But in India itself, the authority, because what Lord Buddha did was, he says, I'm mixing it up. Anyway, the point was that he said, give up the Vedas. Okay, you don't... You're telling me that Vedas say sacrifice, well then give up the Vedas and just follow me. So he broke the attachment to the Vedic statements, and then the Vaishnavacharya, Shankaracharya reestablished the authority of the Vedas, but in a personal way, and then Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, they came and reestablished the bhakti, the personal side of things. Yeah. So there's a whole chain of understanding that has to be there, and then everything becomes clear.
Chai. Grant. Amala Bhakta Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. Just one little point I wanted to make on something that you had said, and I just wanted to try to make it really clear, and that was in the in that pastime in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually appears as Krishna for 21 hours. What was the name of that?
Mahaprakash Leela.
Mahaprakash Leela. And... he had called so many of the devotees, and he was giving them different blessings, benedictions. And then those devotees said, well, you know, Mukunda is still waiting outside to be called, and why aren't you calling him? And then, as you just nicely explained, well, how can I call him? He associates with these Mayavadis and agrees with them, and then he comes here, agrees with us. Actually, Mukunda went to associated with these Mayavadis and also mystical yogis. It was more of a curiosity. He was not associating with them in the same understanding, the same mood, and the same affection that he associated with Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. It was a completely different mood. And how do we find that out? Because when Lord Chaitanya's associates, they said, well, why don't you call him in? And he said, for the reasons that you had already given. And then he said, I would never let Mukunda come in here for even 10 million births, he said. Mm. He said, 10 million births, and everybody was eyes went up, because Mukunda was one of the most beautiful singers. He was always talking Krishna conscious devotional philosophy, and he was looked up to in a very high way. And so how can Lord Chaitanya apparently reject him for 10 million lives? So then when Mukunda heard this, because he was outside, but he could hear what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying. When he heard this, he began to dance in ecstasy. 10 million lives! How wonderful! How glorious! I will get to see the Lord in 10 million lives. He wasn't insulted. He wasn't upset. He wasn't dispirited in any way whatsoever, because that was showing how actually humble and how modest and how insignificant he considered himself. And he thought that even in zillions of lives, he would not get to see Lord Chaitanya. That's what he considered his own self-worth to be. And when Lord Chaitanya saw that he was dancing in ecstasy and there was tears flowing down his eyes over the fact that, he would one day, even if it's long, long, long in the future, get to see him, that he wasn't even worthy of that, 10 million lives. It should have been billions. So when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he immediately called him in. And then he told Mukunda, he says, I was just testing the truth of your sincerity and the depth of your love of Krishna. He said, I actually knew what you were, but I wanted to show the devotees here exactly the reality, the truth, that you're going to these places had absolutely no depth whatsoever. The depth is where you are now, and what your focus is now, which is on pure love of Krishna.
Jai. Dula Krishna Prabhu.
I just had one question to ask you that to finish off. What Shankaracharya, his very last instruction, tells us his real point of propounding the Shankaracharya philosophy is his last instruction is what? You could tell us.
Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda. And he actually says to reject all word jugglery and worship Govinda. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki?